Music from the Shivas, a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock on a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to the program today. This morning's Artist Corner is brought to you by the folks at the Sawdust Festival's Winter Fantasy, going into its final weekend. And coincidentally, we have with us this morning Sawdust Art Festival's historian and director of marketing, Frankie DeShane, with us to talk about the Winter Fantasy. Hi, Frankie. How are you?
Hi, Ed. Good. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back. We haven't seen you since that absolute monster of a takeover hour that you provided for us. By the way, thank you for your support of the radio station, and thank you for a great hour of music that week.
Of course, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. So it seems like it flew by these last few weeks. The Winter Fantasy started. I could swear it just started, and it's already coming to a close. How's it been?
We've been busy.
Good.
Yeah, very fortunate. We've had a lot of people come out, and the artists are happy. Our guests are happy. It's been a really wonderful show.
It really has been, and all local stuff aside that you would normally think, all right, well, I'm a local. I've been to every single Winter Fantasy since the very beginning. Whatever. It is really tremendous this year. It really is. It is a perfect winter scene. So thank you for providing that for us.
Thank you. It really does feel like a perfect winter festival. I mean, it's been a really wonderful year, and of course we weren't able to have it in 2020.
Right.
And so we just came back strong, and the public came out too, and it's been really lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And each time I've gone, I've enjoyed talking with artists. They take the time to tell you about their work and their history. It's like really having an artist. If I go and visit, it's like having 10 artists come in here each week and talk to me about their work. Talk to us about some of the artists that we might have met this past winter.
So there are a number of artists that have come into the winter show that weren't a part of the summer show.
Right.
And a lot of these winter artists are putting on demonstrations every day of the show. And like for an example, Jamie Weber, she's a ceramist, and she has a potter's wheel set up in front of her booth.
I saw her work in that yesterday, actually, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she has been throwing ornaments and bowls, and she intends on doing demonstrations this coming weekend.
Excellent.
You don't want to miss that. She's in booth 212. And then you also have Lilia Venier, who I don't know, I hope I pronounce her last name right, but she is another ceramist, but she does hand building.
Okay.
And she creates these super ornate, large, like sculptures of animals with flowers growing out of them, and a lot of fantasy themed things like mermaids, and they're just fantastic, and she builds them right there in front of you.
Very cool. Now, when you say she's a hand ceramist, mm-hmm. she doesn't use a wheel?
She doesn't use a wheel.
Okay.
She builds solely with her hands.
That's
cool.
It's
called hand building.
All right.
And she just adds, it's an additive, right? She keeps adding clay to create these forms.
Right.
And they're pretty incredible. You definitely want to see that. And she's in booth 307. And she intends on, I think she's going to be making a sheep this weekend with daisies growing out of it, a really large sheep sculpture with daisies.
Oh, very cool.
It's really cool.
And we can watch her do it.
You can watch her do it.
That is really cool. Yes, I don't know that anyone noticed, but as I was walking by the artist that had the wheel yesterday, mm-hmm. she was working on something.
Jamie.
And I was singing the Righteous Brothers Unchained Melody as I walked by. I thought I was just saying, stupid.
Whatever.
So this is the final weekend coming up. We've enjoyed these last several weekends. What can we expect this weekend?
Well, this weekend, of course, you'll have the artists.
Right.
You know, the artists are there.
Which I want to talk about some more of them here in just a moment.
Artists, you'll have music, of course. Right. Always have music.
You've had some great bands through there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really great entertainment these last few weeks.
Thank you. Yeah. This weekend we have Zach Churchill, we have Sally, we have Upstream. Upstream always closes out the show on Sundays.
Excellent.
And of course, Lisa, I'm sure, will give the full rundown on Friday. So I wasn't too prepared with the entertainment schedule,
right.
But we also have Magic Matt on site, the Balloon Diva, Santa.
Of course.
Santa's
rolling big with Santa. And I was mentioning this to Lisa a couple of Fridays ago, that I noticed that as many children as line up for Santa, also their moms are lining up for Santa as well. So there's a lot of moms are wanting to take pictures with Santa as well. I think that's kind of cute.
I am seeing that a lot online.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have our classes, festival classes,
right.
in three booths, our Ceramic Center and the Art Spot and Studio One. And
Anne Marie and I took the peanut Santa, the peanut people mm-hmm. thing yesterday. It was fascinating. We love it. And now the peanuts are up on the mantle now, the completed project, if you will.
Oh, that's
a lot of fun. Thank you for that, by the way. Thank you for the instruction there.
Super simple little class, but brings a lot of joy to all ages.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I didn't feel selfish because I actually gave up my chair for a kid that needed a chair. So I mm-hmm. stood.
I noticed everybody that.
Thank you. Okay, so tell me a little bit about some of the other artists that we've seen before that are there, that we really need to see their work before this ends.
Of course, there's Bo Donnan. He's a jeweler, and he is right now, he's actually a traditional silversmith, but he is now doing like wax casting. He carves jewelry out of wax, and then he casts it in jewelry. Okay. He casts stones into it. So he usually works on a wax model in his booth.
Okay.
And you can always see him carving, and then he'll explain. He's also a lapidary artist, so he cuts stones.
Okay.
And he is fantastic, phenomenal artist.
So he does just the wax part of it there and does the steel smelting somewhere else? Or
he does smelting somewhere else, okay. Yes. But what he used to, so every year he brings something different to his booth. Like a previous year he had his lapidary wheel and he cut stones right on the spot. Okay. And so our guests could witness that. And now he's doing his wax carving. And it's really fascinating because he has different processes that he shows. He shows like the stages of carving something and what it takes to carve something. And then of course you see the end result, which is a fine piece of jewelry that's, you know, set with opal and diamond. And he's a really great artist. And there's also, let me think about some other artists from the summer that are still there this winter.
One of my favorites is Nikolai.
Of course.
You know. I can't let an episode go by without mentioning how much I love his art, number one, and how much I love him as a personality when you stop by his booth.
Yeah. Nikolai is fantastic. He was actually just featured in the Daily Pilot.
Excellent.
Over the weekend.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And the thing I love about Nikolai, of course, are those hearts. Those hearts that we give out to people. And it's like, it's become a tradition.
Right.
Somebody comes to Sada, especially for the first time, giving them one of his little heart magnets.
Right. Our house is loaded down with Nikolai's stuff. We have a piece of his on the wall, and then hearts everywhere. The magnetic hearts everywhere. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Nikolai, absolutely love his stuff. Hey Nikolai, I know he's listening.
Hey Nikolai. and then there's, you know, we have of our ceramicists, we have Robert Jones. He's a favorite. Bill Darnall is another longtime artist. They're both longtime artists, 30 plus years. And we have David Nelson. And one thing I love about David Nelson is, aside from his art, he's always working in his booth. He has a full jeweler's bench set up in his booth.
Very cool.
And he's up by the entertainment deck, and he has what he calls the country store that he's had for 38 years.
Okay.
You know, he actually used to share that with another artist named Mike Hines, who is a very familiar silversmith in town. He actually left town about maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
But they used to share what they called the country store, and it was, they're both jewelers. And one thing I do love about David, which kind of on a side note, is that he has a dish of coins.
Okay.
And if you wanted to make a wish at one of our wishing ponds, you just go by David's booth, grab a coin, and you can go make a wish. And I love that because he has a little sign that says make a wish, and and all of your wishes, all of the coins that go into the wishing ponds end up at Make a Wish Foundation.
That's magnificent to know. That is magnificent to know, because a lot of people go by, they just toss a coin in, they make the wish. They don't know, they don't realize that you actually donate that to the Make a Wish. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Hats off to you guys for doing that. And who's the booth again that has the coin for the kids?
David Nelson.
Okay, David Nelson. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by a couple of people I want to talk about. Number one, as you go down the steps from the main stage, the first guy I see is John.
Oh, yes.
John. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell me about his art, his unique art.
John, I just totally blanked on his name. That's so funny. John does it's not pop art, but it's like black light art.
Right.
It has that psychedelic look to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And John Lucero. It finally came to my mind. John Lucero. Yeah. And he goes by his kind of stage name is called Loose Arrow.
Okay. Anyway, but Loose Arrow.
Loose Arrow. But he does his psychedelic, like, black light art.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's been in the show a long time, and he's kind of evolved. You know, what you don't know about John is that he's a muralist. He's done a ton of murals in town. He did one at, there's a local Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
That's a famous one here. I don't know of it too much, but there's a big mural in there that's really well known, and it's been up for 20 years.
Okay.
But and he also does a lot of our big painted signs on grounds. He's really great at that.
So. Maybe it's the Ola Mendes that was over there down the street. No? All right. Well, maybe if our listeners know, text me in at 949-715-5936 if you've seen John's mural somewhere here in town. If you know, 949-715-5936. Can I bug you a little bit about the history of sawdust? And I don't want to, it's not a quiz, because everyone knows that if they walk up to you in the middle of the Sawdust Festival and ask you a question, you'll know it. So the facade that we see as we walk in. So first of all, I want to let the audience know that you brought me this amazing book, the history. It shows the entire history of the Sawdust Festival. And as I'm paging through, as I'm flipping through it, I'm seeing that the facade went up in 1970. Right? Am I right? Am I crazy?
No, it went up in 1989.
Oh, okay. That's right. Mm-hmm. Went up in 1989. So what was it like before 1989? What was it like between the beginning and 1989?
Prior to 89, the artists moved onto that property in 1968.
Okay.
And we didn't actually purchase the property until 1972. Okay. But 1968 was the start of the show on those grounds. And every year the facade went up and the facade came down. So it was a perimeter wall that they built every summer, and they removed it.
Okay.
And so they left nothing behind at the end of each season.
Right.
And so by the time 1988 came around, they decided that they'd have a permanent structure, because Sawdust was well known at that time, and we had been an established organization.
Right.
So.
And it was designed. If everybody who doesn't go to the Laguna Art Supply and see Noel, so it was designed by Noel's dad.
Yes, James Lashley designed the facade, and he based the design off of the Witch House in town.
Right, the Witch House is over on Wave Street. Right.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it. So when you walk up and you see the facade and it looks familiar, if you've ever walked up or down Wave Street, you know, wow, that looks like the Witch House over on Wave Street. Mm-hmm. So give us some more history that we may not know about Sawdust. Some things that we might be interested in that we didn't know before.
Well, just a brief, of course, everybody knows the brief history of the start of the Sawdust, and right. that some artists tried to get into the Festival of Arts, right. and they weren't juried in. So they looked for an alternative way to sell their art and make a living selling art, right. And so that started in 1965. One of the founding members was Dolores Farrell, who was a painter in town. She and another guy named Larry Cronquist, they started the show. They started it on what I believe was a property across from the library. It was a lot there, and in 65, and then again in 66 and 67, and then eventually they got the property where it's currently located at 935 Laguna Canyon Road, which was actually owned by Walter and Dorothy Funk, the Funk family, which I think is pretty cool. The Funk family owned it, and they allowed the artists to have a show on the grounds every summer, and until 1972 when they offered it for sale.
And then my understanding was there was no charge to get in between the opening in 1972. So it was free admission.
It was free admission, and the artist decided to charge admission of 25 cents because they were right. acquiring the property.
Right, right. Worth every penny then, and worth every penny now to go to see these magnificent artists that we have a chance to check out each and every year. Some ways to enjoy the festival. Can you give us some ways to enjoy the festival on its last week here?
Yeah. So, well, I do have an excerpt I wanted to read.
Yes,
from the book,
please do.
Which I think it's for both summer and the winter show. It's a way to look at the Sawdust when you come in and think about thoughtfully how you want to spend your time at the Sawdust.
Okay.
So it's from the 1971 directory, How to Enjoy the Sawdust. The best way to enjoy the Sawdust Festival is to put your watch in your pocket and to just wander. Keep your mind and your options open. Don't look for any particular artist or product. With that sort of tunnel vision, you'll miss the best part of the Sawdust. Figure what was meant for you will come to you, not the other way around. Most important, take the time to talk to the artist. Art is the form of communication. So every artist is a communicator who has chosen this form of dialogue with you, the viewer. Your response is more important to him, even if he disagrees with you. Find out how he works and what he thinks. You can go to any art or craft exhibit in the country and walk away with the inanimate end product of creative act. But when you buy something at the Sawdust, you have the bonus of having participated in and experienced a part of the creative act itself.
That is beautiful and perfectly captures exactly what we should do when we walk into the Sawdust Art Festival. Sawdustartfestival.org is where you find them. Am I missing anything that we should be covering before this final weekend?
Oh, Saturday, you want to be sure you wear your Christmas sweater.
Okay. So. Oh, you know, I don't think I even have, and I think I may have mentioned this to a friend or two. I don't even think I have a Christmas sweater. So maybe, is it a good place to maybe go get a Christmas sweater?
At the Sawdust?
I'm not sure. I got to find one and wear one. That's all I got to do. So Saturday is wear your Christmas sweater.
Wear your Christmas sweater. It doesn't have to be ugly. It can be cute.
Do you have Christmas sweaters?
I do. I have a few.
More than one?
I have a few. They always come out during Winter Fantasy, but
All right. So Saturday, wear your Christmas sweater
your
when
Christmas
you go.
Sweater.
Okay.
And dress warm. It's been chilly on the grounds, but come on out. It's our last weekend, and we're going to shut shop for 6 months before we open our summer show. So it's your last time to get out in the community, enjoy the festival, enjoy the holidays together, listen to music, buy art, buy last minute gifts.
And I want to mention a couple of things. First of all, you mentioned Zach Churchill was going to be there. Zach not only gracing us with the great music that you would hear him play in other venues, but also graces us with his brand new music from his album as well. Zach just is dropping an album in January, but you're hearing pieces of it there at Sawdust, and no one else is getting that. So that's important to understand. And I also wanted to say this, that we're out there Saturday. KXFM is out there Saturday morning. We will be rocking on Saturday morning. So when you show up and you're waiting in line to get in, we'll be there to entertain you. Drop on by. I'll give you some KXFM swag. We are delighted to be a part of the Winter Fantasy and delighted to have you with us this morning on the Artist Corner, Frankie.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Thank you so much. Why don't you hang for a little while? We'll do a little personal stash. And if you're not too busy, we'll do a little personal stash in Intro Wars.
Great. Thank you.
8:20 the time.